Okay, welcome to October 3rd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DiCristoforo. And one of the reasons why I do the show is because history is important. You see, one of humanity's flaws is trying to get somewhere and not knowing where we came from. We just wind up going around in circles and repeating mistakes of the past. So yeah, history is important. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flag if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts. And begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America! And now on to today's headlines. The Second Battle of Corinth. O.J. Simpson is acquitted.
And Griffith Park in L.A. burns down.
All right, so now let's get started. 1862. Second Battle of Corinth. Union Major General William Rosecrans v. Confederate Major General Earl Van Dorn's Army of the West Tennessee and Major General Sterling Price. The result? Another Rosecrans victory over the Confederates. Rosecrans had already defeated Van Dorn at the Battle of Eoka in northern Mississippi just 2 weeks prior. Price and the Army of the West marched from Baldwin to Ripley to join Van Dorn, where Van Dorn would take command of the combined forces of 22,000 soldiers. The rebels marched to Corinth, where a strategic rail junction was located. Rosecrans was informed that Van Dorn and his men were headed towards them and prepared his 23,000 men and began placing troops around the outer line of Union-built fortifications. On October 3rd, Van Dorn arrived and the fighting began. The Confederates pushed the Yankees back, then Price took advantage of a Union gap, pushing the Union back almost 2 miles towards the town. By nightfall, Van Dorn was so confident he would win an overwhelming victory in the morning, he didn't take into consideration that his troops were exhausted and thirsty. Meanwhile, that night, Rosecrans used the time to close Union gaps and prepare fortifications. The following morning, Confederate Brigadier General Lewis Hebert was not feeling well, and the battle was postponed until 9 a.m. But then, the Confederates began a ruthless attack against the Union's inner trenches and were repulsed with heavy casualties. However, they continued to fight, but with every advance, they were slaughtered by Union battery cannon and muskets. Some of the rebels stormed Battery Powell and closed in on them, facing a Union bayonet charge, where desperate hand-to-hand fighting took place. The Yankees recaptured Battery Powell, and Van Dorn retreated. The Union lost around 2,300 casualties, while the South, around 4,200 dead, wounded, or captured. This Confederate defeat would allow the Union to take the last grip on the Mississippi River at Vicksburg. 1995. O.J. Simpson is acquitted. And 100 million people stopped what they were doing to watch the verdict. I'm not sure what the best part is about this whole story. The police chase, the glove, Judge Ito, Simpson's lawyers, the fact that Simpson was a Heisman Trophy winner, or the verdict itself. According to Wikipedia, the verdict had been reached after 4 hours of deliberation the previous day, but Judge Ito decided to postpone it until the next morning. Around the country, long-distance calls declined by 58%. Trading on Wall Street went down by 41%. Water usage decreased as people avoided using the bathrooms and government officials postponed meetings. So much work stopped that the verdict cost an estimated $400 million in lost productivity. Get back to work! 1931. Griffith Park burns to ashes. Hundreds of construction workers from the Reconstruction Finance Corporation were hired to clean up debris and build trails in Griffith Park in Los Angeles. But when a smolder in the debris ignited, the workers and supervisors had no idea what to do. A foreman would build sloppy fire breaks, and the fire department would be called in, but by then the fire was too big. And besides, At the time, there wasn't any water being piped into the city. The fire continued to blaze and jumped up Dam Canyon, killing a dozen and injuring well over 100. The Griffith Fire burned 47 acres of Los Angeles, and would be considered one of the worst wildfires in American history. And so that's going to wrap it up for October 3rd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance, Civil War buffs, what's your take on the Battle of Corinth? Anything you care to add? Or what about that story on O.J. Simpson? Is it any wonder that he is the most controversial football player in NFL history?
What about that disaster at Griffith Park? A lot of celebrities that live near that area these days. Katy Perry, Megan Fox, Colin Farrell.
So yeah, let me know in the comment board and check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. Good luck with those. And don't miss tomorrow's program. We'll wish a happy birthday to Rutherford Hayes and Mount Rushmore. So don't miss it. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.